Hello, my name is Amelia Asante. I'm sat here with Samuel Leeds. And the reason why I believe he has such a big property portfolio is because he has such a big personal brand. So in this episode, we're going to be talking how he did that and also how you can do it too. So what's excited you this week?
This week, probably going to see Martin Lewis with you. That was kind of cool though.
Yeah, it was cool.
I wanted to go in secret, but we totally got exposed.
Yeah, I didn't tell you, but this morning, one of the ladies from one of the other offices showed me a picture of me. Because you know we had yours on the Facebook group that somebody had put and spotted you.
Yeah.
She spotted me.
She spotted you?
Yeah, took
pictures. And
she just
recognised it and then showed you?
Yeah.
That is so random.
Crazy.
So your only claim to fame is being on the Martin Lewis show.
It is, that's it.
And being on the podcast.
There we go.
And lots of other stuff. But anyway, no, that was great. I kind of wanted to go in secret a little bit because the reason I wanted to see Martin, you know, I actually don't really agree with, not that I don't agree with it, but Martin Lewis obsesses over how to save money. And I'd love to bring him on my YouTube show. So if anyone's listening to this and knows Martin Lewis, who has connections, connect me with him. I think he's a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he says a lot of really good stuff. But obsessing over how to save the pennies, you're going to miss the pounds. But the crazy thing is, he's a very wealthy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, surely, he's actually not that bothered about how to save £5 off a mobile phone bill.
Is his brand.
It is his brand. His brand is how to save money and how to count the pinch the pennies and all that stuff. I'm just not into that. So I just thought if I go and see him in person, see him live, go on his show, is it actually going to enlighten me? Am I going to... Because you don't want to hang around with people that always agree with you.
Yeah.
You want to hang around with people that sometimes don't agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So went in secret, got exposed, saw myself all over the line. Even you got exposed.
Yep, now.
But did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. It was... really interesting to see like a TV setup because obviously we do YouTube and it was interesting to see how they do it for TV. It seemed very scripted.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was interesting because it was obviously live as well. So that was kind of interesting seeing
it was
how
kind
they...
of like, it was live but not live.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Listen, man, Martin Lewis is a king, right? And he's awesome, but it was very different. I much prefer the freedom that you have on YouTube than TV.
People probably think that your YouTube videos are sometimes scheduled and like scripted, but
they're really
they're
not.
Definitely
I have
not.
No idea what you are going to say to me.
Yeah.
Remember when someone said when you interviewed me, oh, I bet Samuel wrote the questions. I'm like, even Amelia doesn't know the questions beforehand, let alone me. You know, and the Ask Me Anything stuff is really Ask Me Anything. When you do those Ask Me Anything challenges, people can literally, even at the crash courses, I'll say, hey, who wants to ask me a question? People stand up, ask me questions.
Yeah.
It's just completely raw.
Whereas their Q&A, like, I think they had people asking questions, but they were like, they'd already chose them and that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
It's interesting.
But everybody does that. Like,
TV's harder, I guess, because once it's out there.
But not even
like,
TV. How many celebrities have we interviewed?
Yeah.
And not knocking the people, man, not at all. But they're always. You need to give your questions up front, and they go over the questions, and then they'll say, oh, can you not ask about this? Can you not ask about this? And although you're asking questions, it's kind of like very much the questions, it's just not free.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll do that. Maybe someday I'll do that. But right now...
You'll become a diva.
I'm just joking. Love the realness of just being able to just talk about anything, give my opinion, not worry about being too PC. And just speak. But you've even got your own YouTube channel.
Yes, I have. I need to get... So we're starting from 2020, properly, once a week, I'm going to be posting on my YouTube account.
I believe it.
Amelia
I believe
Asante.
It. But the thing is, everybody can be an influencer.
Yep.
I know this is something that you believe really passionately because you're even telling all of the guys in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a brand.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
I just strongly believe in personal branding. But I feel like it's one of those things I preach, but I don't do.
Mm. You do because you're sat here with me right now, though.
True, but I just feel like the extent of how I believe in it.
Yeah.
I don't think like I want to be a case study for what I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe everyone can have influence. Everyone has a brand. Everyone can almost make themselves a celebrity.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be doing in 2020 is basically proving that.
Good for you.
For the year.
Good for you.
And yeah, I'm super excited.
I'm so supportive of you in that. And anyone in that, I think. And something you said really interesting to me, because I know you're actually part of the team. You've got a career here with us. But you said that you'd rather have a personal brand than money in the bank.
Yeah.
And a personal brand is more powerful than money in the bank.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so true.
It is.
What did you mean by that?
So I just think, for example, when you do your FF challenges,
yeah.
Like one of the things you were saying is like for example, you made up Lucas Ruby because if you walk into an estate agent, you know that because you're Samuel Leeds, they'll probably know you, they might be nicer to you, might help you.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like almost like an unfair advantage, but it's not unfair because you've worked to build yours as any other property investor. They could build their personal brand, so they have the same privileges that when you walk in, people will be like, oh, maybe take you a bit more seriously, maybe help you out a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think going into a room and people already knowing who you are and already having some sort of level of maybe respect for you or trusting you if you're selling deals and stuff is just such an amazing thing. And it just means that, you know, people already know what you do. It's not like you have to go around networking the room saying, I'm Amelia, I do this. People already know who you are. So if they've got any kind of business proposals or they want to connect, they can just come to you straight away.
You know what's crazy about Lucas Ruby?
Yeah.
Lucas Ruby built his own brand that week. Honestly, to the point where, because Lucas Ruby was networking, and I don't even think I've told you this, I don't think I've told anyone this, but Lucas Ruby was networking, so Lucas Ruby, for anyone that's listening who's thinking, who the heck is Lucas Ruby, when I started again from scratch, no money in the bank, nothing, and a new identity, so I couldn't even leverage off of my brand, I gave myself the name Lucas Ruby, with a wig and glasses and stuff like that. But as the week went on, because I was networking as Lucas Ruby, and I was talking to people, I was advising people, and I was saying, hey, I'm Lucas, I put on a little bit of a voice at the wig, people were like saying, oh, Lucas, they were messaging me. You know, they'd met me at events, because I networked like hardcore. Oh, Lucas, have you got any deals? Oh, Lucas, there was a couple of other deal sources, but we resonated with you best. Lucas, and Lucas had his own Facebook page. People were like, adding Lucas. And by the end of the week, I kind of felt bad that I had to let go of the Lucas Ruby brand. Aww. Because Lucas Ruby literally had his own little following.
It's interesting. And
I just thought, Samuel Leeds has got his own... I say his, I speak like that because Samuel Leeds is two things. There's Samuel Leeds the person, which is me, and then there's Samuel Leeds the brand.
Yeah.
And as it happens, Samuel Leeds the person and Samuel Leeds the brand are very similar. Much of the same person. Sometimes that's not the case.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got the brand and the person and they're very different. Like, no one really knows what some celebrities are like in real life.
Yeah.
They know the brand, you know. So when people meet me in real life, they'll be like, oh man, you're quite actually the same as the brand. But I don't remember where I was going with this. But I know what I was going to say. I was saying, if I was starting over again from scratch, literally with a new identity.
Yeah.
Let's say someone wiped. Or if I went to another country, okay, where no one knew who I was. I would so build the Samuel Leeds brand back. Or the Joe
Blow.
How
would you go about that?
I would document and vlog everything I'm doing.
Okay.
So, like, every time I'm doing it. And it doesn't even have to be, like, amazing. Like, look at people like Patricia Bright, for instance, who's amazing, but she wasn't documenting her life and showing herself making millions and millions of pounds and growing a massive company. I mean, she's done some great stuff, but she was just documenting her life. Some people just document their family, themselves as a mom. They just document their life, but if it's interesting and if it's valuable, then people will start. We'll start following.
Yeah. So you would vlog. So if you had to start your personal brand again tomorrow in another country, you would start vlogging. Is there anything else you would do?
Vlogging is a form of telling people what you're doing, but I would just tell the world what I'm doing.
Okay.
In every possible which way I could. So if I was starting again in Australia, I'd just be like, Samuel Leeds starts again in Australia. Samuel Leeds views his first house in Australia. Samuel Leeds puts forward his first offer in Australia. Everything would be a story. Everything would be documented. When I bought my first house, Samuel Leeds buys his first house. Samuel Leeds has to kick out his first tenant. Second house, third house, fourth house, fifth house. Now Samuel Leeds is financially free. And then I'd be going to the newspapers with the stories. I'd be going to the... I'd be trying to make something newsworthy, trying to make things interesting, resonating with people, putting it out there. Because I know that in business, people think you need a lot of money. You do not need a lot of money in business. And you tell me you make it sound too easy. You make it sound too good to trick. Listen, man, I don't make it sound too easy. It's just I'm a business person and I know that in order to make money, what money comes from people. And the thing you need is you need people to know that you exist.
Yeah.
If people know that you exist, then you can make money. from a service or a product or a joint venture agreement, because people know you, people trust you, you have a reputation. You can have £1 million in the bank, but if you have, if no one knows who you are, if you haven't got the, now there's the three things that you need to make money. You need knowledge, you need network, people, and you need money. Money is the least important. Because you can get money from people when people know who you are because you're networked.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot easier than people think it is.
Yeah.
To build some sort of following or some sort of resonating with some group of people.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that hard. For example, like when I started doing YouTube videos about a year ago, I didn't really have a goal in mind. For me, it was more just like I wanted to kind of feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And starting posting content. And I did because I was at Leeds University, the University of Leeds, and I did a video on like Freshers Week. And I also did one on my study abroad year. I think they got like a few thousand views, and I got a message off the study abroad department at Leeds, and they wanted me to do like a talk to like 500 people and all these different things. So actually, it's, even though I know people will be like, oh, YouTube saturated, is this saturated? But I think when you go niche and going down different avenues, I don't think it's as hard as people think it is.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And when people say something's saturated, I mean, goodness me, the world is saturated with 7 billion people, which means there's more people trying to do it, but there's also more eyeballs waiting for you to do it, to watch.
Yeah. And the best time to start is today.
20 years ago.
And the second best?
Now. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best is today.
Yeah. I find it so interesting as well, because I was listening to, on my way back from Manchester at the weekend, I was on Instagram, and I don't know, I've talked to you about him before, but Stephen Bartlett, who is the head of Social Chain, if no one knows him, he was doing an Instagram live with Umar Kamani, if I'm saying it right, who is the owner of Pretty Little Thing. I don't know whether you know about Pretty Little Thing, because women's clothing. And he's basically just taken the world by storm in terms of his brand.
Yeah.
And they were actually saying like the difference between a business and a brand. And Umar was saying a lot of businesses think that they're brands when actually they're just a business.
Yeah.
Which I found that was super interesting. Yeah. Because I feel like the Samuel Leeds business, or will be the Freedom Formula, that...
Well, there's two.
Yeah.
Business, personal.
Yeah. Like Stephen was saying that a lot of his business comes through his personal brand and not actually his business.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like the same with you. Like you kind of built your brand and that's kind of where everything's coming from. Like the whole business is built off your personal brand.
It is now, but I only realized about personal branding about 4 years ago.
Interesting.
So, well, to some extent, I probably knew about, okay, when I started building my business, I would network.
Yeah.
I had a CRM system. I would get business cards, put them on my CRM system, drop emails out. And stuff like that. And I knew that you had to get people in front of you. I think what I didn't know is the power of online branding.
Okay.
So in the property kind of tight-knit circles and community, people knew, oh, there's this like young guy who's doing really well in property. I was just putting myself out there. I was doing crazy stuff, like I was renting rooms out for free. Because that gets attention. Yeah. Oh, have you heard about that guy who's renting rooms out for free? If you're a landlord, he's just managing your property for free.
Was that on? Was that something you were documenting, or did you just mean?
I didn't document it.
Ah, okay.
I didn't realize at the time. I didn't have anyone to tell me that I needed to. But just the fact that I was doing it, people were talking about it. Like 50 years ago, there was no internet, was there?
Mm.
So could you still have a personal brand without the internet?
Not in the way we know it today. Where do you think you would be now without YouTube?
I think I would be way less known, but of course you can have a personal brand about the internet, because having a personal brand is basically just being well known or being famous. Yeah. But people were famous long before the internet.
Yeah, but personal brand is anything. A personal brand is just a person, I guess.
But what's a brand?
So a personal brand to me is, I think Jeff Bezos maybe is a person that quoted it. It was like, a personal brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
So the way people think about you.
Yeah. So everyone has one.
Yeah. So everyone has one.
But are people's brand known, I guess?
And it's like actively working on it. Like some people will just be like, oh, I don't have a brand. I don't have a brand. So they won't work on it. But I think that's kind of like a naive way to think about it.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you own the fact that you have a personal brand, it means you can start working to almost make your personal brand what you want it.
Yeah.
And I think it's nothing about, because I guess some people would think, oh, maybe, you know, see that as maybe like a fake thing, like, oh, you're manipulating kind of who you are.
Yeah.
But it's more just like putting your best foot forward and being like, these are the best things about me and this is what I want to be known for, rather than...
And then not only just talking about that, but becoming that.
Yeah.
So saying, who do I want to be?
Yeah.
And then becoming that. And it's the same as everyone's got a personal brand. Everybody, I believe that everybody's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a leader of... unless you just literally don't know anybody and you're isolated in your house on your own. But if you've got kids, you're a leader.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's a leader, but it's just a case of acknowledging that and then being aware of it and saying, actually, everything I do has a consequence, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And I need to really think about my decisions before I do them, because people are watching and people are following and people are copying and then being responsible. Same with personal brand. I have a personal brand. People know that I exist.
Yeah.
And the question is, what do they think about me? And how is my brand and how am I known for? So, I think it's really important. Yeah. As you say, everyone has a personal brand.
And if you had to sum up your personal brand in three words, what would you say it is?
I would say that it is inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it is informative.
Mm-hmm.
And liberating. Because I show people that. I show people what can be done. So mm-hmm. everyone that says this can't be done, you know, so it's liberating people to freedom to say, actually, anyone can do this. I'm a normal guy. Here's how I started. And then even doing things like the financial freedom challenges, I do it just to test myself and push myself, but also just to prove no excuses. Anyone can do this.
No, that's so cool. And is there anyone's personal brand who you admire? I'm not going to say inspire, speak, because obviously you can't inspire.
No,
to be
I can
else.
Inspire. I can.
Okay, go for it.
I was thinking about this just yesterday, actually. So I mean, it's interesting that you say it. I think Richard Branson has got such a strong personal brand.
Yeah.
He's got his company, which is Virgin. And another problem that a lot of influencers have is they don't have a business.
Mm.
A lot of influencers, it's like people are either do business and then miss out massively on their personal brand.
Yeah.
Or they have a personal brand and they have a following and they're pushing it, but they've just got zero business behind it. They don't monetize off of it, which is also ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, and also it's deserving people, because people want more. There's a lot of influencers out there and it's like, oh, you're great, but how do we actually do business with you? What is your product or service? And no one knows. With me, it's quite clear. I'm a property investor and I'm financially free, and I teach people how to become financially free. And as a result of that, I have a training company and I also have joint venture students and we do big deals together. So it's just very, very clear. You know, I have my property investors crash course on every single YouTube video that I do. I know that if people want to connect with me on a much deeper level and want my brain of property imprinted on their brain, they need to come to the crash course. Now, it's free, but still, these are the next steps. This is what I would suggest that you do. But some influencers don't have that. It's just, they're just clueless. And then they'll get all holier than thou, you know. Oh, well, you know, I just do this for the fun of it and blah. Listen, if you do it for the fun of it and that's the only reason, you're going to stop doing it at some point, because it will become unfun.
Yeah.
It will become unfun. You have days where you'll be like, oh, man, I don't want to shoot another YouTube video. So unless you have a business behind it, you're just going to give up at some point, because as soon as it gets unfun, you're going to think, well, what's the point? And you'll stop. And then you get out of the habit. Because if you've got a business behind it, it's fun. You do it because you love doing it, but you're also getting paid to do it. So make as much money as you possibly can as an influencer without being inauthentic or incongruent with your brand.
What did you learn from Richard Branson's personal brand?
Okay. The reason I love Richard Branson's brand so much is because rich people often have a bad rep. It's like, oh, they make lots of money. They must have trampled over the poor. And most business people that are successful in business, they've got that certain negative connotation. Like Lord Sugar, for instance, okay, he's really rich. He's awesome. He's got a strong personal brand. But he is a little bit of an ass. You know, he just is.
He's out there.
He's a bit of an ass. He's rude to people. And that's his brand. But Richard Branson is kind. He's fun-loving. He works hard, but he's also got this massive sense of freedom. And whilst that is very true, he's made that happen and he's embraced that as part of his personal brand. Even like his hair and stuff, he's just got this real sense of freedom around him. And although he's a multi billionaire, mm-hmm. so he's one of the richest people in Britain, he's also clearly, he's not doing it for the money. He's not driven by the money. He just does it. He just come. Everything he does is from a position of abundance. And I just really respect. I mean, I've had the privilege of meeting him a couple times, but I just really respect him. I respect his like philosophies and stuff, and I really respect his brand, how he's built his personal brand, and he's got Virgin, his business brand, and he's kind of like the spearhead. And do you know Richard Branson's got a business partner?
No, no one knows this.
He's got a proper, full-on business partner.
Wow!
But obviously, the business partner has chosen to let him be the
face of it.
Yeah, the face and the brand. But he's a business partner, yeah, which is insane.
That is crazy not to know about that. Like, I've never looked into it properly, but you would just think you would know that sort of thing.
Yeah, almost like a quiet.
Yeah,
you know.
Some people are like that, though. Some people don't like the... Because a lot of people are kind of... Like, even, for example, on Winners on a Wednesday, like, we tell people how much Winners on a Wednesday will help them with their brand and stuff like that. And some people just don't see the opportunity in it. Yeah. Some people don't want to come on camera.
Talk to me about Winners Wednesday.
So, Winners Wednesday...
You head this up.
Yes,
so I tell do. Me everything about Winners Wednesday and why so many people... Firstly, tell me how many people are booked on right now, because I know it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's insane. So we are pretty fully booked until March. At the minute, the way we're doing it is trying to... So, for example, we've got a lot of success students and people that are just finishing the academy and things like that, and they know that they're going to be on Winners on a Wednesday, but they just want to, for example, they're just closing some deals. They're just busy in property. So I've booked them in for next year, and I'm going to be on their back, and I'm going to be like, Karen... Where are you up to? When are we doing Winners Wednesday? I've booked you in for February. Are you still going to be able to do it then? And that kind of thing. But the overall vision for Winners on a Wednesday is, at the minute, we have people come on and we'll message people and we're sharing the story. But after that, it's kind of like, we'll stay in touch, but there's no kind of community that the winners go into.
So people become a winner.
Yeah.
They get branded. And one of the reasons that we set up Winners Wednesday was because on my YouTube channel, it's very much my YouTube channel. I'm doing deals, I'm making money, I'm teaching, I'm on every video. And we wanted to, I mean, the initial idea was give our students who are making moves, and taking action. Like, my philosophy is, you make one move, I make 10.
Yeah.
And you know this even as someone that knows me.
Yeah.
You know, you show commitment, you put time aside, I'm gonna watch what happens. And I wanted to set up a setup whereby when my students... We're kicking ass and taking names and making money and going out. Okay, my YouTube channel is a massive asset to me because it brands me and people see me and people want to do deals with me. So I thought, well, why don't I bring on some of my top students?
Yeah.
Let them have an opportunity to share their story. Let them be the teacher and I'll sit back and I'll just ask them questions. Let them be the expert. And at the same time, they'll then brand themselves, get thousands and thousands of views, do joint ventures, be able to do deals, be able to say, you know, screw you to all the school friends and family who said it wouldn't work or whatever their motivation is. But it's just a massive platform for people.
Yeah.
So that's what started happening. And then it became a weekly thing every Wednesday. And but then when you came on, you were like, this could be so much better.
Yeah.
Because they're coming on and they're being branded. But then all these winners need to be continually like reminded of how awesome they are. Opportunities to come back on the show.
Yeah.
Also, you wanted to set up a community with them. So now, what have you done to set up a community with the winners?
So I've probably been looking at stuff for like the past 3 weeks maybe.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of the things that you've just mentioned is we're trying to have people on more than once. So we want to kind of motivate people to, because I think sometimes people, like with anything, at the beginning you're super motivated and then it kind of slowly drifts off, and we want people to stay motivated.
Yes.
And we want people to just keep going, keep being successful.
Do you mean by that, like, you know, when you like astronauts that fly to the moon, I don't know if you knew this, but when they get back they're often really depressed.
Okay.
Because there's nowhere out, there's nowhere higher, there's nowhere bigger.
Yeah.
And you saw that with, sometimes people be like, I want to get on Winners Wednesday, I want to become financially free, and I want to get on Winners Wednesday. They quit their job, they become financially free, they go on Winners Wednesday, and then there'd be a big fat tick, and then they'd be like, And then they just sort of tick over.
Yeah.
And you approached all the winners and you were like, since you went on Winners Wednesday 6 months ago, what have you done? And they're like, oh, well, actually, I've not really been pushing so hard, man. I've done a couple deals. And now you're saying, now we want an ultimate financial freedom where you've 10 times what you did.
Yeah.
And then we'll get you back on the channel again for a part two. We'll do a documentary on you if needs be. We'll get you back on.
Yeah.
And it just creates like a new level of aspiration for people.
Yeah, because so. I think sometimes as well, like, people are that kind of like, tick.
Yeah, they're just like tick it off. They've done it, and then that's that. Whereas you want to be continually pushing.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people kind of like just want to tick things off their list.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll be like, okay, Academy. Okay, now winners on a Wednesday, and I just feel like there's. We don't want there to be this kind of tick box. Okay, that's it. I've done Samuel Lee's training. I've, you know, that's it. I've completed it.
I'm financially free, yeah. And now that's it.
That's it. No, we want people to aim higher. We want people to build their brands. I think on our Winners on a Wednesday, the one that got the most, I'm sure it's like over 60K.
Yeah, there's
60,000 people.
There's a couple that are over 60K.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just incredible. And those people that have been on Winners on a Wednesday, they'll go on about how many messages they get and how much people will be like, oh, wow, how did you find it? How did you do it?
Yeah.
And they'll often, like, the success students come with us to crash courses and things like that. But yeah, I'm basically just trying to make it a bit more of a community. So
doing dinners?
Yeah, so we're doing dinners. So we're actually booking that in today. I was negotiating with the event the other day.
There's nothing that I love more, Amelia, than having a big dinner mm-hmm. with people who are all financially free.
Yeah.
Especially as a result of my training. I'm sat there having dinner with like 30, 40 people, and every single one of them are full-time in property. Yeah. They've all quit their jobs. They're financially free. They're making a fortune in property. But 2 years ago, they were teachers, or yeah. they were working as a builder, or they were working as a solicitor. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, and
so
it's just something.
How often are we going to run those dinners?
So I think we're going to do them. We're going to start every 6 months. We might end up doing them quarterly.
6 months is good.
Yeah, but I just think it's just such a missed opportunity to make the winners like come together, because obviously when you know you're at this dinner, this like dinner networking event, you know that everyone is super serious.
Yeah.
So it's like when someone says like, oh yeah, I'm going to do it, or oh yeah, I do this, I do this, you know that. You know, they're Samuel Lead certified. Like, you know that
they've done the training and they made the money.
Yeah. So it's even like, for example, if you were like taking a step back and you wanted a deal source, if you met someone at the Winners on a Wednesday dinner, you would know, okay, this person has been through the training that I've been through. I can trust them, that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm super excited. We're booking in the one for January. And what else? Yeah, it's just going to be more of a community. We've got the Facebook group now for people to conversate.
And we're getting people in the newspapers all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know there's been 32 students over the last 18 months, success
Crazy.
Students? 32 that have been in the newspapers. 32 people!
Insane.
That's not just financially free. That's their story is so amazing that they're featured in the... And I'm talking big newspapers, often things like Daily Mail,
mm-hmm.
The Sun... Big papers.
And people don't even
news.
Know this.
People don't know it.
And
all
so I want to lay out all the positives coming on Winners on a Wednesday, because sometimes people be like, oh, like I was saying before, like, oh, I don't want to be on camera. I don't want to do this. And I'm like, you're missing such a big opportunity.
Winners Wednesday is sometimes people's favourite day. Every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because the thing
Motivation.
Is... Because the thing is, if I'm talking about what I did, hey, I did this and I've done this and here's how I did it and here's... Some people... might be like, that's great for you, or they might not relate to me totally, but then when I'm saying, hey, here's this 20-year-old, hey, here's this 70-year-old woman, hey, here's this person who can hardly speak English, and then they share their story, it just adds a real sense of, my goodness, like, I can relate to that,
yeah.
Or, you know, if they can do it, sure. So I think it's great. I love Winners Wednesday.
Yeah.
I love what we're doing with that.
It is all about relatability. Like, even I was saying to you, so me and my mum came to your crash course.
Yeah.
And the reason, other than yourself, that we came along is because we saw Leah and Cheryl's story.
Yeah.
And I could really relate to that because it was a mother and daughter relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we often get people coming on. And even when we do the winners now, you'll ask them, okay, who inspired you?
Yeah.
From the last winners, and then we can point out their video. What do you want for the winners to make it more of a community?
I just want people that have been financially free through the training. I want them to just continue wanting to do more and more. So rather than just thinking, you know, oh, I'm done now. And that's not how I live my life. Like, when I became financially free, I'm straight away thinking, okay, what next? Okay, I'll make some more money. And what next? Okay, I can set up this charity. Okay, what next? Oh, and the charity is now registered.
Ooh!
Oh, man, that
Exciting.
Felt good. Man, that felt
yeah,
good.
I was with you. I've even vlogged a little bit of it.
Did we?
Oh. Yeah. We found out what? We were in the middle of a crash course.
Yeah.
And you got a phone call.
Yeah.
And they said, charity's registered, finally.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Took
so,
a long
so
time.
Exciting.
It's people that said, oh, is your charity not registered yet? What's going on with your charity? Why is it not registered? I'm like, have you set up a charity? Clearly you haven't. Because it's not like setting up a limited company. It is
no.
a pain. So, I was glad. And the reason it took me so long was because for ages, I didn't even want a charity because I just... Number one, I didn't want to ask people for money. I just wanted to use my own money. And I think secondly is I just wanted to be known for doing business and making money. I just didn't want to push, like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this in Africa and this and the other. And I've been doing it for years. I've been going out to Africa and digging wells and doing business workshops. Literally,
you've been to nine different
African countries. Yeah. Way before I was financially free, even. I mean, when I went to Africa when I was 18, I spent a month in Zambia. That was what really incentivized me to think, man, if I've got the ability, the God-given brain, to go and make money, and I'm in the country to do that, but I'm not going to because of apathy or laziness or fear, when I could actually inspire and then physically help a lot of people, that'd be wrong. So I've been doing it for years and years. So I delayed it a little bit for that reason, because there's no point having a charity if I'm not asking for donations. But then for tax reasons, it made sense. Also, people wanted to give. So for the last year or so, we've been working on it and finally got the charity number last week. So pumped.
Is there anything you can share about your plans with the charity?
Yeah, I mean, we're loads of stuff. So I'm taking you out next year.
Yes, I'm so excited.
And I take a lot of people out. You know, again, people that have, on Winners Wednesday or whoever, people that have become financially free from the train, I want to take them out. So at the moment, we're building a school in Uganda. Mm. I've been working with the Ugandan government. I've been talking to all the different schools and the officials. I'm trying to change the way that the education system is taught around. I think they should teach kids about money. That's it. I think the kids should be taught around money, finance, business development, because ultimately I think that is the key to relieve poverty. And you know the saying, teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime, is if you just give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. I think that whilst in Africa we do a lot of giving fish, and some of it's very sustainable, like wells and water, and also just food, clothes. I just think education, running a business is, and we've seen it happen with the business workshops and stuff that we've been teaching, and the free business loans. I think that is ultimately what's going to bring sustainability change. So, man, I'm really excited. I love going out there. I love the sunshine. I love the culture. I'm married to a Zimbabwean African lady. Brilliant. And I'm just so glad that we have finally have the charity number.
No, that's so exciting. In terms of your plans for 2020 with the business, in terms of the property business, what are you doing with that? Tell me a bit about that.
What, is it in terms of the investment side?
Yes.
Okay, so I've got my...
Because you normally do a review, don't you? Every year you do a review on YouTube of what you've done for the previous year and what you're doing going forward.
I want to save that for YouTube. I want to save that for YouTube. I know this is also probably on YouTube. I've done a whole YouTube video about that.
Okay.
I guess the question why I do that
why?
Is because most rich people hide. So they don't want people to know what they're doing. They hold their cards close to their chest. And I just don't want to live like that. I just want everyone to see what I'm doing. I want to be open about it. McDonald's published their business plan publicly because they're so unthreatened, because they're so big. And I just think that way of thinking, which is, here's what I'm doing, guys. But you know what really poor people do, really broke people do, is they think, I'm not going to tell anyone about this little idea because then everyone will copy me. No one's going to copy you, dick. No one wants to copy you. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think people get so scared about copying.
Get over yourself. No one wants to copy you. And if they do copy you and they become successful, then good on them.
Yeah.
I'm just so not interested in trying to hold back what I'm doing. And I remember when I was starting out in property, and I'd see people that were really successful, I'd try and pick their brain over a coffee or whatever, or be at an event, and I'd go, oh, so what are you buying? And it would all be taboo and close to their chest, and I'd have these riddles spoken so I couldn't understand it or figure it out. Why? What's the threat? What's the problem? So I just want to tell people what I'm doing. If people copy me, then good on them. Do you know why? Because it takes a lot of commitment to succeed. I can give you the exact blueprint of how to do it. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of commitment to go make that happen. So
it does.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's even hard. Like, even if, for example, before Uber became a thing, if you gave the business plan of Uber to, 100 different people, like, some of them wouldn't even be able to make it work, because it's like, they wouldn't have the commitment, they wouldn't have the drive, they wouldn't know how to get funding. No. Like, there's so much that goes into making something, a business
Listen,
work.
There's a million good ideas.
Yeah.
There's a million good ideas, but there's a few good people that will go and make it happen.
Yeah. It's more about the person. Like, when we were talking to James Khan, he was saying that he invests in people, wasn't he, rather than, like, their business.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I guess, with The Apprentice as well. Like, Lord Trigger, like, he always looks at the person, how they've done over the weeks, rather than realistically, like their business plan.
He doesn't even like it if they've been that successful.
Yeah.
Because he likes to find people that have got potential, see that in the person, then bring that out. And James can't, 100%. So that's why I'm publishing it. So that will happen probably towards the end of this month.
We're filming it this week.
This week? So this week we're going to be filming, number one, a video on exactly what I've bought in 2019. And then number two, what my plans are to buy in 2020. All I'll say is 2020 is going to be big. We're working on some big deals. I've got my brother-in-law, Ben Machakanyanga. and he's now full-time in the property business. So he's left his job. He's a chartered surveyor. He's left that to come and work on the business on our property business full-time. Big plans.
Amazing. Thank you for letting me interview you and ask you a few questions about personal branding and everything that you've been up to this week. And we'll see you next week.
It's been great. Thank you.